The Sports Cage on Demand is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Get $4.99 steins and all draft beer every Monday to Friday from 11 till 7, and $5.99 Caesars every weekend from 11 till 4.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Sports Cage. It is Four Seasons Football Friday. Luke Mullinder's with me. How you doing, Lucky?
Hey, great, man. It's a great day. 27 degrees.
I feel like we're back in Florida, man, almost.
You got a sick suit on. You're ready to roll, brother.
Yeah, good. Had to do a little TV work this afternoon, was all fun here today. And we are originating from the Brand Center, where it's a really, really big deal. Mm. Game one of the Western Hockey League Championship Series. We have not seen the likes of this since 1984.
Dave's excited.
Oh, yeah, we got Dave here. We got a live studio audience. He's jumping out of his chair here.
The dancers are excited over there on the other side of the curtain.
I'm getting to that. We got, by the way, to map out the show, we're going to be splitting the show between the Pats and Thunderbirds series, game one here tonight at the Brand Center, and a lot of Football Friday talk. We are so, so blessed in mid-May to be able to sit here and talk about a CFL draft, whatever's new in the CFL, and to have the Pats still playing and have that be topical. Yeah. It's been probably the best spring of my life. Mm. So Arash Madani is going to be joining us shortly from Tampa Bay. It's the only time that he was able to do it, and that's totally cool. We're going to hear from Chris Jones, who held a news conference this morning just across the way here at Mosaic Stadium, about the Riders' draft plans for Sunday and his take on the team's fines that hit 1 week ago today. We're going to hear from TSN draft expert Dwayne Ford.
My man.
And once you leave in hour three, Scruffy's going to be with me and the Greek Freak right here at the Brand Center. We lead into the Pats and the Thunderbirds pregame show in game one. However, let me set the scene for what's going on at Everest Place. This is like, I'm not joking, a Grey Cup.
Man.
It's insane. And not just the dancers here, but they got things blocked off. The parking lot's already half full. TV trucks out here. They got security running around everywhere. Parking. It's like a Grey Cup. Did you get that feel?
Yeah, it's professional
big time
out here. It got me excited a little bit. You're right. I couldn't find a parking spot when I first pulled up. Usually we're right in front of the building. Today I had to walk about 50 steps. I know that's a first world problem. But, man, yeah, you're right. This place is active right now. So much going on. Hey, it's the finals, man. I'm excited for these guys.
Championship series here tonight, and I'm just going to tell everybody that's coming down to the sold-out Brand Center tonight, come down early if you can. You may be walking a long ways to get to your car. That's what happens in the big cities, and at least it's, what is it, almost 30 degrees Celsius here, not 30 below. But before we go any further, let's head down to Tampa Bay right now. On the Wheaton Kia Hotline, we have with us Sportsnet's Arash Madani getting ready for the Jays and the Rays. How you doing, Arash?
I'm well. Did you see 30 Celsius in Regina today?
Getting right close to it. Yep, absolutely.
Wow, it's warmer than Tampa.
That's what I said to Luke.
Oh, yeah, man.
Felt like we're back in Florida today.
And we don't have the noise of the waves crashing into the beach interrupting us, right?
By the way,
first world problems, Mullinder.
Hey, Arash, Western Canada, this is how it works in Western Canada. It's 29 degrees Celsius. I just checked.
Yep.
With the humidity, Arash, it feels like 29 degrees Celsius. So, hey, it's hot. And how about the Jays? Well, no, let's start with CFL draft because you had a scoop today.
Yeah.
We know who the first overall pick will be in Sunday's CFL draft. You've unearthed it.
Yeah. I mean, Winnipeg has been on the clock now since last September, right, guys, with that trade with the Argos, with Drew Willie. And they're looking defensive line, and they're looking at the University of Iowa, Big Ten country, Luke, to make that happen. Faith Akiki. Akikatite, I believe that's the pronunciation, is the plan for Winnipeg to take first overall in Sunday's draft. Now, they've already begun negotiations with his agent, and unless Kyle Walters, the Blue Bombers GM, has an offer that blows his socks off in a trade on draft day, Winnipeg is going to move forward there. Signs are indicating, fellas, that the Bombers may go with two Canadian defensive linemen. They have Jamal Westerman, 8 sacks last year in a down season, and they have now 3 other options in the interior. Jake Thomas played 16 games last year. You know, he's a 6-year vet. They drafted a kid from the University of Virginia last year in Trent Courtney. He's available to them, and now the kid from Iowa. So they're in a situation where if Rupert Butcher of Western makes the team, and it's a big if, you're looking at five Canadian defensive linemen, and you're looking at effectively four of them were drafted by the Bombers, and the other was an NFL guy who just happens to have a Canadian passport. So that's where it's all, you know, kind of looking right now.
They've got to really love, I mean, the Big Ten, it's a physical football conference, Arash. They've really got to like the film on a Cockatoo because, I mean, everybody always talks about drafting offensive linemen, but these defensive linemen are so tough to find, ones that can be consistent and have a lengthy career. I really think that Trent Cornie from last year is the key to this whole thing. He came out, had a really good rookie season in the reps that he had. He's a guy that can split some time, and you're right, they've got other guys on their roster because, I mean, all we've really heard so far is all about the offensive linemen like Jeff Gray and Darius Bladick, right?
Yeah, and listen, if you talk to people around football, this is not just a CFL problem. It's a pro football problem.
Yeah.
Is that in the new rules, where the number of workouts are limited, the number of practices with pads are limited, the number of hours that coaches have with players, developing offensive linemen at the college level has become a real problem. Tom Cable of the Seattle Seahawks will tell you that across the board in pro football, offensive line play has really diminished because of that. And so now you have a kid who's going up against a Big Ten offensive line in a 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of conference. And Luke, man, you remember what Iowa did last year? Michigan, yep. Number 3 in the country,
they're
went in
a
there,
team.
Right? And Iowa beat them up. And in that game, Faith had 4 tackles, 2 of them for loss. So he's a gamer too. So he's 24 years old, a kid who redshirted before being a 4-year player. The last 2 seasons, he's played 25 games. So you know he's a kid that they expect that can come in and contribute right away.
Anything else on the draft, Arash, before we move to Jays and Rays?
Well, I'll just say this, guys. A couple of years ago, I remember we were talking about, you know, draft players, and I just told you about David Onyemata and what a story he was at the University of Manitoba. Here he was, an immigrant from Africa, never played football until he showed up on campus. And last year I was telling you about Taylor Loeffler, this hard-hitting safety from UBC. There's a kid not getting a lot of love, and his draft stock continues to plunge, and I don't understand why. And his name is Nate Fahar. He's a receiver from Carleton, and this dude is money. He's got hands. He's a route runner. His football IQ is off the chart. He understands the game, and he makes plays. Whatever team selects Nate Fahar, a receiver from Carleton, they're going to have themselves a long-term Canadian starter who's going to be an impact player in the league.
Well, I think that, Arash, the whole thing around the Canadian receivers is the fact that these teams in this Canadian Football League now are getting a lot more creative with their ratios. And I think that what we're seeing is the need, if the DBs are all American, I feel like the CFL teams now, and I think I've read this in a number of reports too, the CFL teams want to go with American receivers because they want to match up talent-wise. Does that make sense to you, or is it still something where we still need to be fostering these Canadian talent?
Well, at some point, Luke, that I understand what you're talking about, but at some point you're going to be robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at some point something's got to give, and you're going to have to start your Canadian somewhere. But what I'm telling you is, look at who just retired yesterday. Sean Gore, right?
Yeah.
So Sean Gore last year gets drafted in 2010. The next year he catches 60 balls for 836 yards. And last year he catches 59 balls for 835. So you're getting an 800-yard receiver. That right there to me says, I don't care what your passport says. If you can play, and then we got a spot for you. And so, yeah, you can be as creative as you want with your ratio, and you know, often it's about putting 2 Americans on your offensive line, whatever. But there are football players that can make an impact in this draft on your roster. And it's a matter of finding them, and more importantly is developing them. So that's the challenge more than anything else.
Arash Madani down in Tampa Bay on the Wheaton Kia hotline. Any test drive in May at Wheaton Kia will score you a $25 Rock Creek gift certificate. Wheaton Kia, Albert and Avonhurst. So Francesco Liriano goes to the mound tonight for the Blue Jays. I see he's responsible for two of the Jays' 9 wins. Arash, does this mean they got a great chance tonight at the Trop?
Well, Liriano's been very good since his first start down here, which was the first week of the season where he didn't get out of the first inning. I mean, that was the biggest issue with Liriano there. But he's you know what you're getting with Liriano. He's going to give you 6 innings. He'll be fine. The big news here, Rod, is that they just sent Matt Latos out. They designated him for assignment. He's going to end up being released. So Sunday's starter is Joe Biagini, the reliever who hasn't started a game since he did in 2015 in the minor leagues with the San Francisco organization. Now, Biagini just, you know, had a chance to talk to him. And he says, you know, I'm just trying to keep my head, keep my routine, the exact same. He says he has the right demeanor, he thinks. You know, he's an even-keeled guy to deal with the start. But they're going to have his pitch count around 55 or 60 max for Sunday, which means tonight they need Liriano to go deep. And tomorrow they need Marco Estrada to go deep because that bullpen's going to get tested on Sunday. So that's why the starts today and tomorrow are going to be so important for the Blue Jays.
Well, enjoy, my friend. It should be a great series. Divisional series are always fun, and we'll catch up with you next week, Arash.
Enjoy the heat wave, boys.
We plan on it.
Heat wave.
All right. Thanks, pal.
I'm so hot.
You got it.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani down at Tropicana Field in Florida. Have you gotten some mileage with the problem that I had in Florida last week, my complaint? You've been telling. Did you tell your wife when you got home
how upset I was? Yeah, about the loud waves.
I couldn't have a nap, folks, in the hotel because the waves were so loud crashing into the shore.
Yeah. Thank God my room was facing the street or I would have been livid.
Well, you said it best. You guys are complaining about snow. At least snow's quiet. You'll never forget that.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah, man. First world problems. I'm talking, there's kids dying overseas and wearing them all.
Can't have a nap.
No.
In the afternoon. Okay. We're live from the Brandt Center. I'm going to set the scene again. Well, there was something I was remiss in. Yeah, it's game one of the WHL Championship here tonight. It's like a Grey Cup feel. People running around like crazy. The TV truck's here. Parking's going to be an issue. We have the International Dance Championships. Yeah, the International Dance Championships.
Set it off scene here.
Well, yeah, so there's lots of guys and gals running around here, a lot of tutus, and so that's awesome, and they're all excited over there, but the parking lot's almost full. So nice. I haven't seen any statement from Everest Place. I'll just say it.
We'll go sneak in.
Come early. Well, yeah, you're going to go over and watch the dance championship?
Yeah, see what's going on.
You go do that. But in the meantime, we're going to talk CFL draft coming up and whatever else is new with the Canadian Football League when we return. It's Four Seasons Football Friday live from the Brandt Center on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Four Seasons Football Friday continues as we take a look at the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Canada is off to a good start at the World Hockey Championship. Canada beat the Czechs 4-1 in the preliminary round opener for both teams. There are two NHL playoff games on tap tonight. Nashville can eliminate the Blues with a win in St. Louis. Anaheim welcomes Edmonton. That series tied 2-2. Kyle Lowry will be a game-time decision for the Toronto Raptors tonight. The veteran guard is nursing a sore ankle. The Raptors are back home for Game 3 after dropping the first two games of the second round NBA playoff series in Cleveland. And that is the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. Don't forget, Pats and Thunderbirds here tonight. Game 1, 7 o'clock in a sold-out Brandt Center. And the only radio broadcast of it is right here, 6:35 p.m. on the mighty 620. Luke Mullender with me here at the Brandt Center as we are set up in the link between the Agribition Building and the Brandt Center. So it's Football Friday. We got a lot of things to get to. Have you seen this afternoon that someone has signed Jay Cutler? You've seen the latest on the former Bears and Broncos quarterback where he's going.
As long as it's not Dallas, I'm good.
He's going to the Fox broadcast booth.
Fox.
He gone.
Well, he's not replacing Troy Aikman, that's for sure.
No. He's done with football. From everything I've read here and on the news wires and then going to social media, Jay Cutler, like, he's done.
I feel like Jay Cutler was hired by Fox to do what John Madden used to do, like talk about the tailgates and the hot dogs in the parking lot. And
I don't think.
Who's
wait a
got
minute.
The coolest hat.
As I think about it, there's nothing exciting about Jay Cutler as a player.
Can you imagine him like?
Nor likely as a broadcaster.
What do you think about that, Jake? That was cool, bro. It was a 15-yard run. Do you have any other comment about it? Yeah, man. Great job, bro. That's what I feel
he's
like he
bad.
Did out of Cutler.
He's just bad. So that's the news out of the National Football League today.
Cool story, bro.
On the Prairie Mobile text line, you can write us at 551-CKRM, 551-2576, or the Molson Coors Twitter feed. It's actually brought to you by Pilsner. Let's call it the Pilsner Twitter feed. Daryl Edwards writing us at Rod Peterson. He says, why doesn't Evraz Place use this week as a trial run for New Mosaic and have viewing parties on the big screen of the Pats games?
Because the Pats are playing in a championship, and this is no time to sit here and worry about the new stadium and big crowds. Man, the Pats are trying to win a chip here, folks. Forget all the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's the finals, baby. Seattle's in town.
I know what he's saying is you can't get into the Brand Center, so let's show the games on the big screen at the new stadium and get everything working.
Then it becomes the new Mosaic Stadium, and oh, look at this sweet screen.
This is about
the Pats. This is about the Pats, and if you can't get a ticket, then you better find a way to sneak in, or you better find a way to listen to it on the radio or watch it on Shaw, because other than that, or access, excuse me, this is about the Pats, man. This is not about that stadium across the street.
No, and it'll come up next week when the Pats go to Seattle for games 3, 4, and possibly 5. Why don't they show it on the big screen in the Brand Center? Why don't they do that? They do that in the other big centers. Hey, I'd like to see that. I'd be all for it. But apparently it's not that easy just to pull together all the staff for the Brand Center, the ushers, the concessions, the whole thing. Would I like to do it? Yes. Would the Pats love to do it? Absolutely. Don't charge. Just open the doors and show it on this $3 million screen.
Yeah.
But that's an Evraz thing, not a Pats thing.
Exactly.
So don't lobby the Pats for that. And I just don't think that that's something that Evraz is interested in. Now, moving on. And we're going to spend, hey, Clark Monroe, the Regina Pats, you're looking young. Good luck tonight. Chris Jones, we're going to hear from him coming up after the break. It was a 20-minute media gathering with Chris Jones this morning. He talked about a lot of things. They own the number 2 pick of the draft on Sunday. He said they're fielding really good offers, and they may move it. If I was them, I would say I would move it right now because you don't know who you're going to take or if he's even going to be available. You're Chris Jones. What are you doing, Luke Mullen?
Drafting an offensive lineman.
Jeff Gray?
An offensive lineman. If Jeff Gray is available, he's a guy that I would look at. I mean, Bladick's a guy that I would look at.
The top ones are got American opportunities, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing about this year, right? There seems to be a lot more gray area this year than any year for some reason. And I don't think it's just because people aren't talking about the draft as much.
I just
think that people are really trying to find that balance between whether the guys that have effort NFL opportunities are going to be back. I mean, this is an organization right now that took 2 draft picks last year on guys that are in the NFL right now. I mean, I'm really hoping Eli Buka comes back here eventually.
He's with the Cardinals.
He's with the Cardinals now. He's a guy. He's a 4-2, 4-3 guy. I really feel like he can bring some value there. But as far as this draft goes, yeah, I think that you have the 2 pick. I think that you draft an offensive lineman. It's the most ratio-friendly position. It's also, if you look at our roster, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders roster right now, there isn't a lot of experience from a national perspective on that O-line. Dan Clark, yes. All the experience in the world. But then you have Brendan Labatt, who, in my opinion, is still an if. And it's not whether Brendan Labatt's been working out the offseason. A neck is a neck. It's just one of those things where it could...
One hit away from it all being done.
And there's nobody
else,
everybody
really.
I mean, there's Josiah St. John, who's got a huge opportunity at that guard spot, but nothing else, really. There's not a ton of guys that have given you consistent football starts. So if that's the case, I'm saying O-line, O-line, O-line.
Chris Jones is going to talk about their draft plans. He's going to talk about the fines they got 1 week ago today. And when we break away for this news update with Drew Postey, I want you folks to think about this. Because nobody is talking about the CFL draft, which goes Sunday night. When do you think would be the best day and time to hold it? Because God bless the CFL and TSN. They've tried every day and every time, and it's just not getting traction. When would be the best day for you, the fan, to pay attention Or would you ever pay attention? We'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's Four Seasons Football Friday, live from the Brandt Center on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Four Seasons Football Friday coming at you live from the Brandt Center. Luke Mullender with me here as we get ready for the Pats and the Seattle Thunderbirds in Game 1 of the WHL Championship Series. The phone is full of Pats questions, to be honest, so we can dabble between hockey and football today. That's what I was shooting for. Mike in Regina writes in, he says, the beer will be flowing in the rink tonight. It's going to be warm in there, just like Memorial Cup 01. I can't wait. I'll be there. Never seen a WHL final. That's from Mike. Guy asked me here the other day, or like an hour ago, sorry, in the Pats Neutral Zone store where I was buying two jackets. He goes, is it going to be hot in there tonight? It's a hockey rink. Probably not.
Come on.
You know yourself, Luke, you've done enough shows here this year that around 6 o'clock they flip the AC on.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be hot in Nebraska.
Nah, man, you guys are good. Who cares if it's hot?
Yeah. Even
really?
Better.
Yeah.
Even better. He wants to know how to dress.
Man, throw a Pats jersey on, come ready to make some noise. Is it like the old school thing? Are you allowed to remember? I remember when I played hockey, all the parents would fill those milk jugs up with pennies and bring those as noisemakers.
It could be louder. Nuts. It could be louder.
Come
but
on.
It's pretty loud.
Let's get loud.
J-Dog writes in, says, I'm pumped for the Pats game, cracking a stubby to get myself ready. I can only assume he's
probably
talking.
Rethink that statement.
I can only imagine he's cracking a pilsner.
Yeah. Put beer, not stubby.
Says she's going to be
indict yourself.
Electric in the YQR this weekend. Have a good night, boys. Go Riders. That's from J-Dog. Go Riders, yeah. Is it just before we hear from Chris Jones and his news conference from this morning over here at Mosaic Stadium? What would be a good day for the draft? Because there are those in the league that are saying, in the CFL that are saying, oh, great, we're up against the Oilers-Ducks.
Yeah, good
game
luck.
Game six.
There is no good day unless you market it ahead of time, unless you talk about it ahead of time. And kudos to the league for at least trying. I mean, I know they got these guys who played college ball, like Marshall Ferguson and stuff, doing their best to analyze picks and things. I think that what you really need to do is go out and get some of these former players in different, like Doug Brown. Go out and get guys like Randy Chevrier in Calgary. Go out and get guys like Brent Johnson in BC to really do some hard line analysis on teams' needs and things like that, man. I mean, it's all good for these former college guys to put in as much. And I'm not knocking the work they're doing because it's fabulous work. Right, but guys like Justin Duncan stuff. But yeah, you need guys that are recognizable at the pro level, like Brent Johnson. You know what I mean? And get those guys. Put on some NFL Network type ish. You know what I'm saying? Where there's real interviews going on and talking, right? And then it doesn't matter when you do the draft because people are excited about it. Right. Unfortunately, there's not enough. And I get resources are scarce. Right. But there's not enough surrounding the build up to the draft to really justify putting it like right now, to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter if it's on a Sunday or it could be today. It would be the same reaction simply because there hasn't been that build up. There hasn't been. Davis Sanchez, shout out to Sanchez, man. That guy does a hell of a job for the league website. Right. You need more guys like that. Right, and you need and if I'm the CFL, I go get Dwayne Ford, and I give him every single platform I can to talk about that draft because that guy oozes draft knowledge.
Yeah, he does. And to be honest with you, the CFL draft, and I've been in this league 19 years now, the draft is at an all-time low for notoriety, popularity, yeah, and exposure in a time where it's 2017, where you got all these channels and opportunities to make it at an all-time high.
Absolutely.
We're 2 years after
social media.
Yeah, 2 years after the Orange regime, 2 years into the Orange regime, and yeah, he's leaving. But I'm just saying it's an inexcusable fact.
No, you're right.
But it's not necessarily the CFL's fault specifically, or TSN's, or Canadian University Football. I wrote about this yesterday. You got Noah Pickton, the first Ram ever to win the Heck Crichton Trophy for Canadian Football MVP.
Crickets.
And he's not going to be drafted.
Crickets.
No, that's the problem. He's not going to be drafted because of the position he plays.
And
it's a fundamental problem with the league.
But if that's the case, then Brody Lawson should be interviewing Darius Bladick. Brody Lawson should be talking to Vandervoort.
The prospects.
I love Brandon Whitaker. That guy was one of the best overall running backs for as long as he played in Montreal, even into Toronto. But if you want to build the league, stop doing the Skype conversation with Brandon Whitaker. Do the Skype conversation with these with the future. Kay Okafor. We're talking about a guy that's a freak of nature, and we're over there interviewing Brandon Whitaker. And I love B, but let's prioritize.
Well,
let's figure out, hey, listen, we need guys talking about these future stars. Because here's the main problem, and I'll tell you why the draft is probably not looked at in the same light as it should be, is because you need to hype some of these guys up, because to be quite honest, a lot of the guys that are picked in this draft don't make an impact in the league afterwards. So you better start hyping them up, because the ones that do, you'll have guys that are saying, you have now a trail of material and content from them before. But right now, we're not focusing on
them. No, but a lot of you're talking about the marketing end of it, which could use a big spiffing up, if you will. But it's a fundamental issue with the CFL that, again, Noah Pickton won't be drafted for the reasons that we all know, and that's a problem. Because this city, if there was a chance of that, if he had a chance of being drafted and playing in that league, the city would at least care this weekend.
I was shocked.
And they don't.
I was shocked that they
didn't. And if they don't care in Regina about the CFL draft, can you tell me where in this country they would?
Well, that's, you know what? I mean, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, we also can't just focus on the Regina Ram, right? Like, what I'm saying is the guys at the top, like Faith Akakiti, right now, Dwayne Ford, Scruff sitting here. Dwayne Ford, I mean, Rash Madani broke that he's probably the number one. Why isn't anybody in Akakiti's ear? Hey, man, you know what? We want to get you on. Do you know how much I saw Myles Garrett on the NFL Network? I couldn't stop Mitchell Trubisky from flashing across and him doing interviews talking about the fact that he only has 13 games of experience and why that doesn't work against him and things like that, right? But we're over there talking about other things that don't necessarily build into what we want
now
to do.
But so Don Mitchell, my buddy Don Mitchell from the Royal Canadian Navy, writes in with an excellent point. Prairie Mobile text line, he says, CFL draft, show some Canadian college football on a national network so we know who these kids are. Yes.
You've been saying it for years.
But they have been on the score. They're on Access now, and people don't watch. That's where it's on the fans. Because if they had the ratings, which drives the sponsorship revenue, you'd have more games on television instead of networks like Shaw walking away from the contracts because nobody's watching. That's on the fans. That's why I said this isn't a CFL problem. This is a pandemic that affects all areas of this game of football in this country. But look, as far as the Riders' draft plans go, Chris Jones held a news conference this morning. Let's listen into a small portion of that. He began it by being asked, are they getting offers to trade the number 2 overall pick?
Yeah, you know what? We've had a bunch of calls from numerous teams about trying to move to that position. So, again, we're just going to weigh our options and see what's best for us.
Is your work done, or is your busiest time the next 48 hours ahead of the draft? Are you ready?
Yeah, well, you know what? We've done probably 20 mock drafts, maybe 25. We've sat down, looked at different scenarios that people pick, you know, in front of us and pick a guy that we're not expecting or whatever, which direction we would go. So I feel very prepared in what we're doing.
Do you envision holding on to that pick? Or
you know what, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, I mean, we've had a lot of good offers, so we'll just have to wait. We're still gathering information on who the people would pick in front of us.
What area in particular are you most interested in?
Well, we've got a lot of positions that we, you know, that have good positions. I mean, offensive line, certainly. I mean, there's defensive linemen, certainly, that can add depth to our football team. And so we're looking at a lot of different options.
Do you have a guy in mind at number 2?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and tell our pick. I mean, draft's in a couple of days. I think you guys can wait.
If your guy does get taken at number 1, is then a trade going to happen?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at, you know. I mean, again, there's only one team that picks in front of us, so that's the one good thing about being in the spot that we're in. Again, we'll just have to wait and see, you know, on draft day exactly how it all pans out.
Do you want a guy who can be with you right away, or would you look at some of these top guys I've seen?
Well, certainly you'd like to have a guy that's going to come in and give you immediate help. I don't see a lot of that, you know, in this draft. I don't see a lot of just immediate help guys that are going to come in right away and solidify your roster. But I do see a great depth in guys that are developmental that can be 2 to 3 years down the road that can be, you know, longtime CFL players.
Big flyers on guys who signed NFL contracts or mini camps?
Well, yeah, you know, we took a couple of those in the later rounds. I mean, certainly they're talented guys. We'll just have to wait and see who's available at that time and where they end up dropping to. It does actually probably hurt their stock a little bit because people are afraid that they won't be here during camp. And we've done our due diligence and called our contacts trying to gauge exactly how interested these NFL teams are in the young man.
The defensive lineman from Manitoba, do you think he'll come up here?
Well, I mean, you know, he ended up getting drafted, you know, in the fifth, and I mean, he played very well last year. So it's one of those things like Von Martin. Whoever knew Von Martin would ever, you know, come up here and play. And I know Von didn't play for very long, but you know, he played very well in the NFL. So, you know, hopefully it's not just a wasted draft pick down the road. Hopefully he comes up and allows us to give us some depth.
How difficult is it to prep for a draft when you have so many players that may go to the NFL?
Yeah, well, again, I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, J.O. and Murph and Mike Davis, they have a lot of connections in the NFL. So we've been doing our due diligence, calling teams, trying to figure out exactly, you know, what the interest level is from those teams.
This was not the case 15 years ago when you get ready. How has that changed how teams have to prep?
Yeah, you know what? It does make it a little more difficult. And again, it makes it a little more uncertain. So, you know, if you're – some teams you'll take certainty over non-certainty. Other teams will take a flyer, especially, you know, if they – you know, you see where – like last year, I mean, Edmonton coming off the Grey Cup, they took some flyers early in the early round. So they're in a position to do that. So, again, it's just philosophy.
But it makes it very difficult to predict what's going to happen on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Chris Jones, and that's about half of what he had to say today. We'll air a little bit more of it coming up later on. Scruffy was sitting at the table. He's taken off, but he'll be coming back for hour two. Two things he's informed me of. One, it's not Noah Pickton's draft year. Next year is. Thanks, but it's not going to change anything. He's still not going to get drafted next year either, but I thank him for pointing that out. And two, he says there are tailgaters in the parking lot here at the Brandt Center. From Seattle.
That's big time right there. Well, that's America. That's America.
That's right.
They need a reason to drink some beer.
But these guys, I swear to God, these guys were yelling at me from across the parking lot. And I had no idea who. I just waved and kept going, "Hey, Rod Peterson, voice of the Rider." Of course, they're big WHL fans if they came all the way from Seattle. Now I feel bad I didn't go over there and talk to them. Guess I can do it tomorrow on this sunshiny,
I'll go throw a rock at them
summer day. 29 degrees in the old Queen City. It's Four Seasons Football Friday coming to you live from the Brandt Center on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker live from the Brandt Center before Game 1 of the Pats and Thunderbirds Dub Championship Final. Pittsburgh Penguins captain Sidney Crosby is back at practice 4 days after suffering a concussion. The two-time league MVP took part in team drills today and was cleared for contact. It's uncertain whether he'll return for Game 5 tomorrow in Washington. Pittsburgh leads the best-of-seven series 3-1. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Nashville can eliminate the Blues with a win in St. Louis. Anaheim welcomes Edmonton. That series is all tied at 2. And the Toronto Blue Jays are designated right-hander Matt Latos for assignment. He did not record a win in 3 starts with the team. The Jays are in Tampa tonight. Toronto in last place in the overall Major League Baseball standings. That's the RMP SportsCade Sports Ticker. Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS.
Here's a Football Friday poll for you.
Yep.
Who's more annoying? What's more annoying? Listening to Rider fans complain about the referees or the Edmonton Oilers fans complaining about the referees?
Oilers times 100.
By a mile. It is ridiculous listening to these Edmonton Oilers fans accuse the referees of something. You know what someone told me? You know what one of these Edmonton Oilers fans told me? He said, the NHL doesn't want Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. I said, oh, really? Cool story, bro.
Yes, they
because,
do.
Because I'm pretty sure that the marketing team totally disagrees with you.
I
couldn't believe he said that. I'm like, you think the NHL does not want a Canadian team in the finals.
Well, even Scruffy, who's as unreasonable as anybody, says Oiler fans need to cool
They need to cool it.
Because it's unbecoming of the franchise, and I couldn't agree more. Colin from Tisdale writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line from the 818. He says, did the intern producer get a nickname yet? Great show, boys.
Yeah.
No, we don't have a nickname yet.
I will tell you this.
Riley thing. The producer.
Riley needs a new email address, that's for sure.
It's like X78.
Yeah.
Forever Your Girl at. Come on, Riley.
Oh, man, Riley. You need
How about Riley the producer at yahoo.ca? Something like
that. Something, yeah.
I like Riley the producer.
Busta Riles, I'm pretty sure that's taken, though.
Busta Riles.
Busta Riles.
No, I don't
at yahoo.com. Not the lame address Riley's got now. Folks, if we told you, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, bring Nevin back
Busta
on the show.
Busta Riles at yahoo.ca.
Pretty sure that's taken, though.
Prairie Mobile text line, regarding university football games on television and the lack thereof and the lack of profile for the players that are eligible for this Sunday's CFL draft. Brad from the 554 writes in, he says, you don't get ratings and you don't get fans if you don't have somebody that's going to market the product.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Here's the problem. I mean, it's not like they don't have guys that are quality that are leading these conversations. I think Jim Mullen's a great example of a guy that really cares about the U Sport game. He's good at bringing that information forward.
But he's the only guy doing it.
I know. They need to spend some. Hey, listen, I'm from Toronto. This is how I was raised. You got to spend money to make money. And it's really convenient for everybody to, the economy's not good, and there's cutbacks. Yeah, okay, well, is that an excuse, or is there going to be a time where you say, listen, we might have to go through some tough times in order to grow something? Got to spend some money to make some money, folks. That's how it works.
Well, and by the way, because I've watched, as you do, all the Canada West football games, there isn't a better venue in Canada West football than Griffith Stadium in Saskatoon when it's rocking. It doesn't even need to be full, but when it is full, when the Rams are there or they have a Salute Our Troops night, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
well, that
great.
The blackout game they got out there, I'm telling you, there's games like that all over the country.
But the problem is Canada West football has just been kicked in the nards by Shaw, who's shutting everything down. So instead of, like, Noah Pickton just became a star here in this town and on the prairies because every game was on television last year. Mm. And now all of a sudden they're talking about pulling the pin because the revenue's not there.
Love Noah Pickton coming in.
This isn't a CFL problem. It's all of our problem.
One of the younger guys in the CFL combine out through some of the other quarterbacks that were actually there to be drafted. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we just got to get the word out. You need a megaphone. And if the megaphone, you need a megaphone to shout the game to the hills, right, and to make some noise about the game. And if that megaphone costs some money, I really think that it's something that's worthwhile. Because you're right. I mean, then we get to the draft, and we hear now.
Like, yeah.
It's crickets. Everybody's going to blame the fact. That's the thing. Everybody's going to blame the fact that the draft is on Sunday on why they didn't watch it or why it wasn't publicized. And me and you have gone into that Monday. Like, we went in, and that's a stupid day to run it. That's the thing. Everybody's going to blame it on Sunday. But realistically, the bigger problem is the fact that we're not talking about it enough. We're not putting enough resources into these players that are busting their tails. I'm talking about sweat equity here for guys out of Laurier.
They
deserve it.
You're the notoriety.
Right. You're absolutely right.
But I just asked prior to the news break at the bottom of the hour, what day and time would the fans like to see the draft held? I haven't had one response.
Yeah.
They don't even care about it. It's like, why even hold it? That's where we're at. The CFL draft profile is at an all-time low. And if I was a CFL governor, president, or whatever, I'd be pretty damn concerned about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of those things. So you know what? They got all the answers. Kelly in Calgary writes in. She says, trade the pick. Riders have the number 2 overall pick. She says, get someone for right now. We could use a starter more than a pick right now. Good luck, Pats. That's from Kelly. And by the way,
come on, Kelly.
Hey, I'm with Kelly. Move it. You don't know who you're going
to
take.
First of all, if Kelly wants somebody who's ready to play right now, I hate to break this to Kelly, but that person's going to get taken 1-3 because CFL, unlike any other draft, all right,
unlike any other draft, you don't get a lot of guys who are ready to play right now. You don't. That's just the fact.
And there's hardly any in this draft.
The number one pick isn't ready to play right now a lot of the times, right? Like, this is a very fragile situation you talk about in terms of guys need to play. So if you got the two pick and you want someone that's ready to contribute, they're going to be – they need to be taken between one and three because they're not going to be there if they're ready to play right now because it doesn't happen a lot.
Okay, we got a roving reporter. I love this. Mitchell Blair is our roving reporter in the field, and he's just coming to our table here. Did you interview the guys? It's a yes or no story.
Yes.
Okay. He interviewed the Thunderbirds tailgaters out in the parking lot, and we're going to air that next hour. I love it. There's tailgating in the Brand Center parking lot in advance of Game 1. I told you it's like a Grey Cup, except it's 29 degrees outside.
And it's hockey.
And with the humidity, it feels like 29 degrees outside. It's Four Seasons Football Friday, live from the Brand Center on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.
Turn down for what?
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Sports Cage. Hot enough for you? 29 degrees in the Wheat Province. I love
Isn't
this.
Isn't that great?
It is amazing.
Yeah.
All these years, Mitchell, and you still don't know where to put the mic.
I got a fat head.
I'll tell you what.
I could spend an hour on that.
I bet not hear anybody complaining about here about how it's too hot either.
Well, yeah, exactly.
This province like no other. It gets hot one day, and everybody's complaining about the heat.
I know.
Okay. Oh, my God, it's way too hot.
You are officially a Saskatchewanian, if you've realized that.
Yeah.
Hey, we are live from the Brand Center. Pats and Thunderbirds tonight, Game 1, WHL Championship. Scruffy has joined us. Mitchell, I don't know how much of hour one you heard here on Four Seasons Football Friday, but I said it's like a Grey Cup feel around here. The television trucks are here.
Yep.
It's chaos. Parking people running around like their heads are cut off. It's like a Grey Cup, except it's 29 degrees outside. But it's a big-time feel as the WHL Championship takes off here tonight.
I came around the corner of the Brandt Center by the media entrance, and I'm going, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Like, why is all this area cordoned off? They've got players parking cordoned off tonight as a couple of players came in and they were let through. Never seen that before.
No. It's like National Hockey League
Stanley
Cup playoffs.
Right beside
gotta
us
get somewhere to put their Chevrolet Cobalts.
Right beside us there's a black curtain that we haven't seen before, and I couldn't figure out what that was going on, but there's a dance championship, Luke.
Yeah,
there's a dance competition going on there. We got people out there. Man, I'll tell you what, I was over there, and I tell you, they look like some synchronized swimmers out there. They were really good.
And
don't go this way, though, because this way is the change room.
Yeah.
So that's where the competition's going on.
And Fan Fest is going on. Is Shatner here? Maybe Shatner will drop the puck tonight.
Nerd alert. Nerd alert. Where's that going on?
Over at Evraz. Yeah.
And Shatner's here?
Apparently. I think it's today he's here.
Captain Kirk.
Yes.
Forgive me for not knowing.
Yeah,
Fan
I know.
Fest,
I know.
But... No, I was stunned by this, and that's what we do, broadcast to the province what's going on around here. And the parking guy that was out there where the player's lot is said, you want to come park in here? I'm like, I'm good. I was one of the first to the facility. I got media parking along the building. Did you, Mitch?
I didn't. I'm sort of parked by a light standard.
The rest of the peasants, Rob.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks a lot for rubbing it in.
Yeah, I don't have that Peterson charm around the building.
Yeah, watch out for this guy.
Yeah, I know.
Here's a little hint, Mitch. Maybe slip a parking guy $20 from time to time.
Maybe here's a hint, Rod. Have $20 that you can afford to spend, unlike you.
Okay.
Money bags.
Fair enough. I'll shut up now. But here's the awesome thing. This is what makes me feel like a real big-time radio show. Mitchell is our roving reporter in the field. Tell everybody what you saw here.
Okay, as I said, I pulled up, and as I pulled up, I'm seeing like a bunch of cars, like some cars. People sitting in lawn chairs, they're tailgating.
That's
and then
awesome.
All of a sudden, I see a woman wearing a Seattle Thunderbirds jersey. I'm like, oh, my God, the Thunderbirds have fans here that are tailgating. So I went out, and as I went out, all of a sudden it dawned on me, they are from the Ochap First Nation. They are here to see Ethan Bear, of course,
That's
maybe
awesome.
Arguably
he's
their
the best
player.
Yeah,
he is the
baller,
best defenseman in the Western Hockey League. He's a role model for First Nations youth with what he has done this year. Edmonton Oilers prospect. So I talked to a member of the Cavalcade, and we have sent it back to the station. I don't know when it's going to get put into the system, but I know they're working on that right now. But they are as happy as can be that Ethan Bear is playing because they get to see him live. there's going to be 500 or so of them here tonight cheering for Ethan Bear and the Seattle Thunderbirds.
That's like
that's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
The roof's going to go off this place tonight. Is your headphone dropping?
A little bit, yeah.
Come over here, and I can fix that for you, my friend. There you go.
Thank you very
much. Come on,
Riley.
Can we at least get the headphones working before we bring them over here?
Oh. I think we're going to say it's Riley the producer.
Riley the producer?
Yep.
Because I told him, go get an email handle, rileytheproducer@yahoo.ca, and don't say Riley the intern, because I hope once he's done his internship, he stays here.
Yeah, he's like already better than all these producers we have.
He's already the
best. Yeah.
I said yesterday, Luke was his first day. I said, you're peaking.
Oh, really?
Where are you going to go from here?
Yeah. No.
You're making Wash.
To a better job. That's where he's going.
I'm hoping he's not like that player that gets traded in his first game. He has a hat trick and a fight. And, and then you never hear from him again.
Yeah.
Don't flame out, Riley. Prairie Mobile Riley text line. John. No, Mosh hates us. John. John Boy from Gray writes in. He says, nothing new about tailgating at Pats games. We were doing that last year during the playoff run. Wish we could do it again tonight, but busy in the field. Go, Pats, go. From John in Gray.
John's like, we were drinking beer in that parking lot when there was no hockey games going on.
That's right. It is Rahina. What do we got here?
Of Mosh.
He's on the patio drinking beer.
Of course he is.
Yeah. Oh, so he can't come fix the headset.
Yes.
What a shock.
But, of course, though, that's what Mosh does in December, too.
Yeah, exactly. And when he means patio, he means a piece of wood on the railway tracks.
For those...
Oh, hurtful but accurate.
Regarding the CFL draft, let's not forget it's Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
That
coming up.
I said, Mitch, just at the end of last hour, that the CFL draft profile is at an all-time low. And it is.
Well,
an anonymous texter writes in from the 403, says, sorry, in terms of the draft, make it a big deal. Hype it up. Yeah. Get big names. I'll watch it. I'm fine with Sunday morning, but morning's better so it doesn't run up against the NHL playoffs. No brainer. Things will get better once we have a new commissioner. The league won't screw up a second time.
Okay. You have to have your draft after the NFL draft because of the prospects that are going to go to the NFL, like Justin Senior, who I think, Luke, was the only one that was sort of on the board. But we've had other years, though, where other guys have gone. And then you have that time, and Jeff Gray, and I believe he signed with Green Bay.
The official invites to camps. And
exactly. So you have to have it after the NFL draft. Now, there are people saying, well, what are you doing and having it Sunday night? It's the same night as Game 6 of the Oilers and Ducks. When the CFL put this draft day out, they had no clue as to what was going to be going on around.
But there's a pretty good idea.
Yes, I know, but how are you supposed to... The Stanley Cup playoffs are going to be happening every night.
So the NBA
after the NFL draft, the NBA plus, you're not going to win there, Rod. So that's what I'm saying. You have to take one night. Now, I know you were saying, and I heard it coming in, what is the best time? For me, I would say Monday night, because then you can talk about it all week. You can lead up to it. And like I said today in the Friday column that's on your blog, you know, I haven't seen one ad for the CFL draft on TSN.
No.
And I haven't seen one prospect profile like what Luke was talking about. Like, they were all here for the combine.
Man.
So where is your profile on Mason Woods? Where is your profile on Mitch Picton? Where is your profile on Nate Behar? Like, CFL is missing out here, but TSN isn't helping them.
Marlene has written in on the Pilsner Twitter feed. She says, I've read a lot of CFL.ca articles about the players who are available in the draft. Info is there if you want it.
Yeah, but so. Marlene, that's the problem. So there's written articles. There's written articles, and I agree with that, on CFL.ca. But, man, you need more than that these days. This is a digital age where people want information on video. I'm telling you, there's so many resources out there with these teams, and we talked about that in hour one. Go get Angus Reid in B.C. to talk about some of the needs on the ratio out with the Lions. Right? Go get guys from all the cities, all the teams out there, alumni guys, whatever, because that's what draws it in. The more you talk about it, the more people – you can't just keep rolling out an article here and there and Marshall Ferguson. Like, man,
Dwayne Ford should have a platform. Dwayne Ford is so knowledgeable in this stuff, man.
And I heard you talking before about, you know, and yes, there is a little bit, you know, the fact that there's not a lot of TV coverage of football in this country.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a huge supporter of Canada West football.
Absolutely.
Having done Rams games on this station on Access.
And you still do.
And I still do. I knew who Taylor Loeffler was, the UBC safety. I knew how good that kid was. And I have people going, oh, that Taylor Loeffler's a hell of a football player. Yeah. I've known that. I knew what Nick Dembski was all about when he played for the Manitoba Bison.
Yeah.
I know what Mitch Pickton is all about. I know what Anthony Woodson is all about. I know what Eli Buka is all about.
But nobody else does.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And I know that, you know, Shaw has done a great job with Canada West football. I know that there's that motion out there to get the Northern 8 or the Northern 10, that you have the interlock. I'd love to see that. But for whatever reason, out east, they don't want to do it.
So you mentioned Dwayne Ford. He's been the draft expert going way back to his days on the Score, Mitch. You
big
remember that?
Right yep. There, yep.
He predicted like the first two rounds, pick by pick by pick, accurately, back when he was at the Score. Frankly, I think that's why they hired him at TSN, because he was so good at it. Well, he did host a conference call earlier on this week about this 2017 CFL draft, and right at the beginning of it, he spent a little time on the Riders. We're going to roll that now, and at the end of it, he was asked about Josiah St. John, last year's number one overall pick, which Saskatchewan took, and was asked if he's a bust. But first of all, Dwayne was asked about the Riders' 9 picks in this Sunday's draft and how beneficial he thinks for the Riders it is to have 9 picks.
Well, obviously, it's going to be valuable for them. I think we recognized that last year was a year where overall Canadian talent and depth was an area that needs to continue to be addressed, wasn't an area of strength for the team last year. So the hope is certainly to beef that up. Now, at the same time, I think there's depth in this draft. I think, however, there's probably a question at some key positions of how many guys are necessarily going to emerge as starters in the Canadian Football League. It's not necessarily a great draft in the offensive line, not necessarily a great draft at receiver as well, so kind of your typical Canadian positions. Chris Jones is the kind of guy, though, that I think can take advantage of that, because he's shown a creativity in the way that he'll use his Canadians, and it may vary from week to week. So he's a guy who may be able to capitalize on that a little bit and get some specific parts that he can play around with how to use in that Rider roster.
What position do you think that you have to bolster in the most in the draft, Dwayne?
You know, again, with Saskatchewan, I don't know if I would label one position specifically, just because of the way that Chris has demonstrated that he'll use his Canadians. Now, again, I mean, that may be a question of not necessarily having clear-cut starters at certain positions as to why it sort of changed from week to week at times last year. You know, anytime if you have a chance to get one of the top linemen out of this class, then maybe you'll try to do that, because that's a position where I think every team feels comfortable knowing that they can trot some guys out there. Obviously, Saskatchewan's a team that has lost some guys over the last few years in terms of their Canadian offensive line depth. There's some pretty good defensive linemen in this draft, and so when you look at opportunities for a team that has multiple picks, a position where you may be able to add some bodies, that might be a place to look as well.
Just the last one. How do you assess Josiah St. John being the first overall pick last year and what he went through and what he's accomplished? Is that one of those things we call a draft bust, or how do we sort of assess what happened with him?
It's too early to say that. I think that really what happened last year was a case where there wasn't a clear number one pick, and in a lot of ways, Saskatchewan was a team that found themselves trying to trade the pick, but because there wasn't a clear number one guy that everybody was trying to get, there wasn't necessarily a market for people trying to move up to number one. And so, you know, I mean, they took a shot on a guy who, in terms of potential, you hope may develop at least into having a chance to play tackle. At least you hope he'll be able to play inside. But, you know, drafting the guy that they see as having a pretty good ceiling. So it's early. You hope that Josiah will develop. But a little early to label him as a bust, but at the same time, probably you take a little bit of a hit when you look at the performance of some of the other guys drafted last year. Alex Singleton, obviously one in the first round that jumps out a little bit as a guy that was an impact player and would have helped on any roster.
Dwayne Ford's thoughts on the Riders' plans for the 2017 CFL Draft, which goes Sunday night. So we're live at the Brand Center, and game one of the Pats and Thunderbirds tonight. It's 29 degrees in the Queen City, and Mitchell's tailgating interview with the Thunderbirds fans is ready to go. We'll do it after this break. But Scruffy, these fans are becoming stars already. It's all over social media.
They are. CTV has been out there talking to them, and they're quickly getting their 15 minutes.
We'll hear from them next. It's Four Seasons Football Friday on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Four Seasons Football Friday continues from the Brand Center. Time for the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Canada off to a good start at the World Hockey Championship. Canada beat the Czechs 4-1 today in the opener for both teams. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Nashville can eliminate the Blues with a win in St. Louis. Anaheim welcomes Edmonton with that series all tied up 2-2. Kyle Lowry will be a game-time decision for the Raptors tonight. The veteran guard is nursing a sore ankle. The Raps are home for Game 3 of their second-round series against Cleveland, trailing the Cavaliers 2-0. And the Blue Jays are at Tampa Bay tonight. Francesco Liriano taking his 2-2 record to the mound at the Trop. And, of course, the Pats and the Thunderbirds here tonight, Game 1 of the WHL Championship at 7 o'clock on this station. That's the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Great spot to watch all the playoff games. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. Well, as we mentioned, the Seattle Thunderbirds are in town, as are their fans. Now, they're tailgating out in the parking lot right now. Mitchell Blair caught up to them. Let's listen in.
Evan, obviously you're here from the Ochap First Nation to give the Thunderbirds some support here. You're here to see Ethan Bear.
Correct. There's probably about 500 or so of us fans from back home, so we're excited. We're ready to go.
How proud are you of Ethan?
Really proud. Like I said, he's just a small town, small reserve boy that's kind of made it to the big stage. So we're just kind of, it's been a while, if any of our kids ever made it to this level with his talent. So, you know, you'll see that's why a lot of people are out supporting him, because he's a star. He's not just a role player. He's a guy that gets out and does all the good things for us. So.
Now, I know obviously you got to see him play earlier this year when Seattle was here. That doesn't happen very often, so this is sort of a bonus that you get to see him play, hopefully for you guys. Well, I know you'd like to see Seattle win this probably in four, but, you know, there's a chance this could go seven. You can see him play like four times here.
Yeah, correct. It's he's only a 19-year-old, but this is probably his last season in the WHL. He has an NHL contract, so it's a nice way for him to finish whether they win or lose. If they win, they get to go to Windsor, I believe. If they lose, well, at least we got to see him in his last year playing close to home.
Is that, you know, say what you will about the schedule, but yeah, you don't get a chance to see him very much, and I'm sure you probably watch games online or whatever, but, you know, yeah, you'd probably rather see him playing in the Eastern Conference, but you got to be happy for him, though, in the fact he is playing with a team that's capable of winning the Western Hockey League Championship.
Yeah, correct. We, like I said, last year they made the finals, so for them to come back this year was kind of a shot in the dark. You know, we didn't think it would happen, but them making it 2 years in a row is a feather in the cap, not only to the organization, the coaching staff, but to Ethan, Turner, Ottenbright, all the boys that are back from last year, right? They played hard. At Christmas time, they weren't so good, you know, and then after Christmas, I think they put together a string of 17 straight wins and made the right trades. Their GM and coach did what they got to do, and, you know, so here we are.
Now, I know Ethan's not 100%. I know you're not going to tell me if he's going to play or not, but, you know, he is going to be a force in this series, whether or not he plays or not. Because if he doesn't, it's a big advantage for Regina. And if he does, it helps out the T-Birds.
Correct. Obviously, he put up, I think, 70 points this year. And if he does play, if you watch the power play, it's kind of, you know, it's geared towards kind of him and, you know, Barzal kind of getting the pucks to the shooters. And he's one of the shooters. So if he plays, you know, I think their power play is running at a 35% success rate right now. And if he plays, he only helps that. So we're hoping he plays. If he doesn't, you know, there's such a deep team that, you know, the guys will pick up his slack if he's not playing.
One last question for you. I know the Ochapaways First Nation, at least those of you that are here, are cheering for Ethan Bear and the Seattle Thunderbirds. There's a lot of people in Saskatchewan that are cheering for the Pats, but I guess it's safe to say there is one part of the province that's not cheering for the Pats.
That's right. Like I said, well, I don't even know if it's one part, but all of First Nations, there's 76 First Nations in Saskatchewan, all of them are cheering for Ethan because he's letting a lot of boys and girls dream right now that you can actually play at this level and be a star at this level, and they're all cheering for him. And I think, you know, the small towns like Grenfell, with Donovan Niles, you know, Yorkton has a couple boys in Turner, Ottenbright, and the Andrusiak kid. Regina has the Adams kid, you know, they're, and I think Nolan Vulcan's from here as well. So there's a lot of other small towns cheering for them, and I think, like I said tonight, it will be a pro-Regina crowd, but there will be still a good Seattle feel to it.
All right, thanks a lot. Enjoy your time here.
Have a good night.
Man. What, way to go, Scruffy. You just got everybody cheering for the Thunderbirds.
Yeah,
way to go.
I am a huge fan of the Thunderbirds now, man.
How can you not like them now?
Awesome. When the 500 Thunderbirds... guys from the First Nation out here, and you can, man, it's such a prideful thing, right? You can hear the passion, and you can hear the support of the community vibrating in that guy. That was awesome. I am now going for the Thunderbirds for the first.
That is right. You're going to have to leave now.
Yeah, see you, Luke.
I'm impartial.
That is right in the parking lot where they're tailgating.
That's awesome.
What a story.
Earlier this season, when the Pats got off to their great start and Seattle didn't get off to a good start, there were some people wondering, you know, could the Pats make a trade for Ethan Bear? Can you imagine if Seattle had given up on this season and if John Paddock had been able to pull the trigger and getting Ethan Bear? You'd have had people from OCHAP and around the province, First Nations guys like Evan just said, coming here, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, maybe
awesome.
Next year.
Maybe next year, although he's a 20 next year. And I, for some reason, think that Ethan Bear is probably playing his last few games as a Western Hockey Leaguer. He's bound for Bakersfield in the American Hockey League.
On the Prairie Mobile text line, where is this? From the 502. Hey, guys, nice to see the Pats in the final. However, I've got to cheer for hometown hero Donovan Niles out of Grenfell. He's having a great run this playoff. Be nice to see him bring the trophy home. Go Thunderbirds. That's from Carl from Craig in Regina. The Ochapa Waistband has 164 tickets.
That's
for
awesome.
Each night. There will be lots of Thunderbirds in the stands. The city is in for a real treat. Okay, let's can the Thunderbird talk. Enough. It's a Pats station, Pats town. I get it. But
did anybody get a hold of John Ryan to see who his loyalties are for
I'm
this
I'm texting
series?
Him right now.
Oh, yeah. I bet you John Ryan's pulling for Regina.
He'll have to be.
Look at what his brother-in-law is one of the best politicians in the land. He'll have some answer.
Yep.
He might ask Andy Shearer for an answer. How do I answer this, Andy? Anyways, Mitchell Pickton coming up.
Yep.
Scruffy, who's projected to go in the third round of the CFL draft on Sunday. So it's a very exciting show today. Four Seasons Football Friday live from the Brand Center on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Four Seasons Football Friday continues. The action is picking up. Oh, if you've just joined us, where you've been? We've been on the air 90 minutes.
Come on.
We're 90 minutes away from Game 1 of the Western Hockey League Championship Series, Pats and Seattle Thunderbirds. It's a Stanley Cup playoffs type of feel around here.
Oh, man.
A Grey Cup kind of feel. We got the security huddle going on over here right now. The TV trucks are going on around the place. They got players parking just like the NHL teams. It's big time, Mitchell Blair. It's big time.
And I'm guessing when Shaw comes on tonight, we might get a picture like they have of the Stanley Cup playoffs of the guys coming in their suit and tie. Mm. Here's Adam Brooks as he enters the Brandt Center. They need him to be big tonight. As you know, yeah, it's a big-time feeling here.
Adam Brooks.
The first time since 84.
Rocking a suit from Le Chateau, folks.
By the way, yeah, no kidding. By the way, so John Ryan is the punter for the Seattle Seahawks, and he's from Regina, Saskatchewan. And he played for Sheldon Williams, and he played for the U of R Rams. Did he respond?
He just responded
so hang
to what
on.
I sent him.
Stop. I texted him, who are you cheering for, Seahawks or Pats? He wrote me back, a real Sophie's choice. I'll be at the games wearing a Switzerland shirt. Seriously, I ordered one.
Make a pick,
come
Rick.
On, John.
Make a pick.
That is weak. So, Mitch, what did you say?
Well, I said, you know, You advocate punters shouldn't be treated as wusses, and you go all Switzerland on us. Boo! And then he sends me back, not a wuss, just a smart man who knows how to play the crowd from both sides.
Oh, man.
True story. True story.
I got the Pats in six.
Yep.
But I'm pulling for the Thunderbirds after we heard that story from the First Nations community.
I will just say this. Game six or seven, the Ed Chanel Cup will be presented in this building. Right. This series is coming back to Regina. It will not end in Seattle like it did last year.
Man, these restaurants need to get on board here, man. You got to start having some post-game parties. Someone should be picking up the official after party of whenever this place goes. Like, man, there's a big opportunity here, Regina. Get on board.
John Paddock after party at Nikki's Cafe.
John Paddock after party at Denny's or Smitty's all day breakfast.
Well, look
at the Paddock special.
I don't want to be.
Is the Paddock still around that used to be over here?
No. Drive by it sometime.
Well, I don't come down that area many.
They knocked it down, but not to be a Debbie Downer.
Uh-oh.
But I had lunch with the Greek Freak today at the Four Seasons, yep. And he said he ran into John Paddock at a eating establishment in town. And he just, you know, George can talk a guy's ear off, as you know.
Yes.
And he'll be with us here in hour three. But he said, John, how do you feel about doing those interviews on the bench right in the middle of the period? That must be really annoying. And Paddock goes, I don't have a problem with that. What I don't like is when the access crew or Shaw crew takes our player right at the end of the game for a live interview. Because we want to do a cheer in the locker room, dressing room right after the game.
Yeah.
And like Luke, the Riders have done that for years and years and years, that thing. And he goes, we got to wait to do the cheer because our player's getting interviewed on TV. And of course, here's me. Oh, okay, so we just won't do the games then. So you're
no,
cheer.
He's like, saying,
here's a typical coach, though, that doesn't get it.
No, he doesn't. No, it's not that he doesn't get it. He doesn't care. And you shouldn't
Same
care
thing.
When you're coaching and you're a player.
Same thing.
About what the media wants. You gotta get with your boys. You want to break it down, shower everybody with Diet Cola. I'm telling you, man, you want to get in with the team. That's the only thing.
Diet Cola. Really, Luke?
Aren't these kids like 16?
Diet Cola?
Hey, I'm just saying. I'm not allowed to say
You know, and
really
that's why, hang on, that's why this draft is the lowest profile CFL draft ever, and the WHL draft went on last night, and I don't even care.
Did it really?
Let alone, yes. Hmm. So, you want to grow the game or not? Do you
yes,
want to grow
I'm
the game?
You have to grow the game.
Or
I'm,
not?
I was literally speaking from Coach Paddock's point of view, though.
Coach Paddock. Coach you want to grow
yeah.
the game.
Coach Paddock doesn't care about growing the game. He cares about wins.
Well, that's wrong.
I laughed
well,
yesterday.
Well, maybe it's not wrong
yeah.
because the building's full and they're
yeah.
in the
exactly.
final. I need to re-examine my stance on this. Go ahead.
I laughed yesterday when I was talking to John Paddock, and I said, you know, you've been through this, being in the finals, so many Calder Cups, so many Stanley Cups. Do you still get excited at this? And the answer was yes.
Yeah,
like he's been through this so many times. Well, but you have to think, though, that he's a calming influence in that room because those kids, as they're coming into the rink here tonight, their adrenaline's got to be pumping.
You play to
win
the
game.
Exactly.
You play for championships.
And John Paddock has been such a calming influence this year. But yet for him to admit, yeah, you know what, I'm excited too.
Because this is the goal.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what he said. This is where we wanted to be in August.
Yeah,
we set a goal to be playing in this series. And we are. Now it's just a matter
like,
of moving on.
You know, you know what? We want a home playoff game. That's what I don't like about football in the CFL. Oh, yeah, you know what? The goal is a home playoff game. Oh, really? Well, guess what you're not winning? The Grey Cup.
Yep.
Right? You got it. Yeah,
I
win.
Know. That's what Winnipeg serious. Last year at the Banjo Bowl, I was on their pregame with Doug Brown and Bob Irving. I said, oh, you're having a great year, guys.
Yeah.
What's your goal? Home playoff game.
Yeah, all
Which
right.
they didn't even achieve.
Because nope. that's the goal for them. They want to play in October. You're trying to play in November if you're in the WHL. You're trying to win the championship. It's about rings. It's about championships. All these coaches out there, you're never going to succeed as a coach as the guy that's the head and face of the program if you're like, well, you know what we really want to do is we really want to finish above 500. That'd be sweet.
So
well, you're fired.
Prairie Mobile text line. This is Chad. He says it's true. A lot of First Nations are cheering for Seattle. Because of Ethan Bear, but this guy isn't. I hope he does well, but I bleed red, white, and blue. Go Pats, Chad from Carry the Kettle.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, thanks for the support, Chad. Cal Filson writes in, Prairie Mobile text line. Should be a great series. Go Thunderbirds. He can be forgiven. He's their head scout.
I was going to say, isn't that their head scout?
Chad said he's going for the red, white, and blue. That's America. So he's going for the Thunderbirds. He's just... He just indicted himself.
No, he didn't. He gets it. He gets it.
Trump wish good luck to the Thunderbirds on Twitter today?
Why, did the Prime Minister wish the Pats good luck?
Well, he might have. Last week when he was here, we missed an opportunity because I wanted him to get one of those signs, that the Pats signs that we've got. Nobody thought about it.
Last week when he was here,
That's why you have me around. I was in Florida.
Last week when he was here.
I can't think for everybody.
Like you would have been around when Justin was in the building.
I saw a picture of him, and he was sitting in my seat. So when I got back here on the first Monday, I threw that seat out and put it in the Wolf studio. It's not sitting in that crappy seat anymore. It was out. Gone.
Nancy in Yorkton writes in. She says, we watch the draft no matter when it is. We'll have two TVs set up, Oilers game, and the draft. LOL. That's from Nancy in Yorkton. Oh, and Norm Fong chiming in, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
Regarding the CFL draft and its lack of profile, which I am saying it's at an all-time low for notoriety in 2017, which is inexcusable. Norm Fong says, Luke is right. Until Canadian university football is followed better by the networks, it doesn't matter who the teams draft, as none of the names mean anything to most Canadian football fans.
I will say this. As a guy who had the privilege of being drafted, it really got real the first time I met Norm. And it's because I walked in there. I was driven from the airport, picked up by Hugh. Driven over here. We stopped in the middle of the road because geese had to cross. But I got to meet Norm, and he started fitting me for my equipment. I was like, man, this is pretty cool, man. So he was one of the first guys that I met in this organization just because of the process. But, man, Norm meant a lot of people, a lot to a lot of people. So what up, Fongo?
Speaking of the draft and the prospects, when we come back, we'll hear from the Rams' Mitch Pickton. Slated to go in the third round on Sunday in the CFL draft. It's Four Seasons Football Friday on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. RMP Sports Cage sports ticker captain Claude Giroux had a pair of assists as Canada beat the Czechs 4-1 in the preliminary round opener for both teams at the World Hockey Championship. There are two Stanley Cup playoffs on tonight. Nashville can eliminate the Blues with a win in St. Louis. Anaheim welcomes Edmonton. That series is all tied up 2-2. Raptors star point guard Kyle Lowry started on the bench with an injured ankle for Game 3 of the NBA Eastern Conference semifinal. Corey Joseph started in his place against the surging Cleveland Cavaliers. Lowry skipped the morning shoot-around and tested his sprained left ankle before tonight's Game 3. Raptors trail that series against the Cavaliers 2-0. And baseball, where are the Blue Jays? They're in Tampa Bay. They're in the top of the third inning and scoreless. That's the RMP SportsCade sports ticker. Regina Motor Products, home of no car crap BS.
Scoreless means we're not losing.
They're not losing. That's good news. That's a win.
Cubs lose to the Yankees 3-2 today. Aroldis Chapman pitches the top of the ninth to get the save for the Yankees. How ironic, since it was Chapman that did so much for the Cubs
last year. Good work by Scruffy here. He interviewed the Seattle Tailgaters here this afternoon, and we aired it on the show. And you also talked to Mitch Pickton, the highest-rated Ram, right, for the 2017 CFL draft. And Mitch, the star Rams receiver, says he's excited for Sunday night in the CFL draft.
Yeah, it's been a long time waiting for this weekend to figure out what's going to happen, but I'm excited for it. I'm not going to do anything crazy, just kind of going to be business as usual for me. Just hanging out, going to be training on Saturday, and then Sunday I'll be waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah, how does Sunday go for you? Do you wait for the phone to ring? Do you sit there and watch the draft on TV? Are you going to be on pins and needles pacing around? What's it going to be like Sunday? Because I'm guessing this can't be easy for anybody, whether it be a football player, a hockey player, anybody that could be drafted.
Yeah, I'll definitely be a little anxious on Sunday, but I don't know. I'm not going to do anything crazy. My family will be over here and stuff like that. I'll watch it with them, and I'll watch it on TV, and that'll be about it.
How many teams, and I know at the Combine you impressed a lot of people and you talked to a lot of teams. Have you talked to a lot of teams since the Combine as far as the interest they have in you or not?
A little bit here and there, but nothing too serious as of now.
The last draft I saw, you're still going
second round. Some people have you high second. Some people have you low second. I'm guessing it really doesn't matter to you, though, where you are picked. It's just the fact that you are going to be picked, and then you just take it from there.
Right. Yeah, obviously, I'm just looking to get into a training camp and then go and make a football team. So wherever I'm drafted, I'm fine with, as long as I'm going to be going to a training and to a pro training camp, I'll be happy.
I know you won't tell me what one or two teams you'd like to go to, but obviously you have some favorite teams. Are you sort of hoping that you can land with one of your favorite teams?
Right now, I'm not really playing favorites at all. Honestly, I'm just going to be extremely grateful with whoever decides to take a chance on me and give me an opportunity to play pro ball and do something I've been waiting a long time to do, and it's a real dream of mine. So really, anywhere I end up is going to be very exciting for me.
Mitchell Picton of the U of R Rams. There's an excited guy for Sunday's CFL draft. And, Luke, I ask you this every year. You went fourth round, right, of the
35th overall
2004 draft.
Yep.
What was your life like the night before the draft? Were you anxious like Mitch Picton just said he was?
I didn't know I got drafted. I was graduating, so I was writing an essay in our computer lab when my phone rang. Smoked the essay, man. I remember it was
really. You were writing an essay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be sitting waiting for the phone to ring?
I didn't send much film into the Canadian Football League. My agent told me that, hey, you know what? You went up and did your things during the combine. Just let the chips fall. And I had a very smart agent. He's no longer in the game now, but he very earlier on told me that it's not about where you start, it's about where you finish. And I think that the same goes for a guy like Mitchell Picton. He could go, but I mean, I know he's being told second round. I would probably get him in there at the fourth or fifth, and the reason why is because all these other receivers that people have ahead of them are dropping like flies too. So I think that, man, it doesn't matter. This draft, as long as you get the opportunity, because in the CFL, like no other league, the first overall pick has as much of a chance as cracking the roster as the dead last guy. It's all about what you do with your opportunity.
I'm surprised that you say that. I'm just going to ask you this. Now, I don't know the answer to this question when I throw it out there. Hmm. Did you think you were going to get drafted? So you just went on your daily routine?
Yeah, I did.
You did? Okay.
I figured I would get drafted. But to tell you the truth, I was an immature kid back then. And it was also, I've talked about this a lot, I actually didn't really necessarily care about playing football after college. You know, I had a lot of things going on. So I was a different case. And but hold on, don't let me cheapen it. I was thrilled when I found out. Right. And I know I've told the story here. I was grateful and I was really excited about the opportunity. But, yeah, I just had good advice. And the guy said, hey, it's not where you went up. And that's because we planned it. Right. Like, listen, just go and play well at the combine. Take advantage of the one on ones. Ask who the best guy is and go against that guy the whole time. And things will figure itself out. Right. So I was fortunate and it was awesome to hear that. But, yeah, like, man, I had an essay due and I'm a procrastinator. So it was due like within. I think that day, I think I had the class later on in the afternoon. So, yeah, man, I had to get things done, trying to graduate.
And fourth round, who'd you get the call from? Tony Plater.
I got the call from my agent first, the guy who was representing me. Did I tell you that story? Yeah.
And only 2 minutes. Holy smokes.
It was funny because, you know, he's like, well, Luke, just like to congratulate you. You got taken. In the CFL draft. I'm like, sweet, man, who? Well, these guys are really excited about bringing you here and getting you involved in the rotation. Oh, cool, man. Who took me? Oh, man, they're really excited about the potential you've got. They really think that you're a good... Like, Terrence, who the hell took me? Because I told them I didn't want to be taken out west. I wanted to be taken by either Toronto or Hamilton because I wanted to play at home if I did play at all. So, yeah, it was awesome, man, and I was thrilled. And then I got the call from DB. And DB talked to me a little bit. We went back and forth. I told him I appreciated everything that he just did for me. I told him it was a life-changing opportunity, and I'm excited, and I'll do my best when I get to camp.
Well, there's going to be a couple hundred guys get a call like that come Sunday
night. It's not about where you start. If you think you're going in the first and you fall to the seventh, don't be discouraged. Man, listen, when that opportunity knocks, just capitalize on it, man. And I'm excited. I get excited for these guys because I know how hard they've worked. You see these guys in the combine. I hope every one of them is a Hall of Famer at the end of their careers. I really do.
From the Prairie Mobile text line, anonymous texter writes in, says, gave tickets to my grandsons for game one. I'm enjoying the hospitality at the Four Seasons.
There it is.
So everybody's in the giving spirit around here as the WHL Championship Series gets ready to roll in just over an hour's time. Luke, we'll let you...
I'm out, man. You guys have a good game.
...roll out. Hour three coming up next. Scruffy, me, and the Greek Freak, and our producer, Riley. We still don't have a nickname for him.
Riley the producer.
I think that's it.
It might be it.
That's better than Riley the show killer.
Yep.
That's way better. So hour three is next from the Brent Center on a Four Seasons Football Friday on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Well, good evening, Saskatchewan. Welcome to the Brent Center. It is Four Seasons Football Friday. Hey, Riley, get the hype horn going. We got Georgie Anitsos with us, the Greek Freak. Scruffy, we lost him. I don't know. He's getting popcorn. He's getting pop. I don't know where he is. The Greek Freak is here. Are you excited, buddy?
Oh, I'm so excited. You know what? You know Jen, of course. And
your bartender,
my
Jen.
Bartender, the number one Pats fan. Whenever there's a shorthanded situation, the whole rink can hear her because she yells, "Shorty!" But anytime we see her, I look at her and I go, "Everybody, clap your hands!" And we just, Roddy, I just listened to Phil, and he talked about going to the Eastern Conference Finals since '93. And then we'll play Phil again that says for the first time since the 84, since 1984 that they've been to the dub. And then 1974, I can tell you as an 11-year-old kid in the old exhibition auditorium, first that series against the Swift Current Broncos, Tiger Williams and Ruskowski, and of course we had Clark Gillies and Dennis Sobchak and Steady Eddie. It has been a long time. And
I should back up for a second. You just pulled a Scruffy and just I said, "Hello, George." Away he went. We're at the Brand Center. Game one, Pats and Thunderbirds, WHL Championship. We haven't had a game of its like since 1984. And if anybody's coming here to the Brand Center, by now it's almost too late. You're going to be parking by the RCMP.
The old Mosaic Stadium.
Yeah, because it's insane. It's thank heavens I got here mid-afternoon for some other stuff that I was doing, because parking's at a premium. Like I said, the television trucks are here. Security's running around parking people like crazy. The players have their own parking lot for the first time ever, like Stanley Cup playoffs. It didn't hit me, George, until middle of the afternoon how big of a deal what's about to happen here. And Georgie Nitsos from the Four Seasons is with us here in Scruffy as well.
It is such a big deal. And all of Regina. And, you know, Roddy, I've talked to a lot of my cousin, that the huge Musha Warrior fan there at the Mad Greek. They're reluctantly pulling for a Saskatchewan team. They're reluctantly pulling for the Pats. But I would hope all of Saskatchewan gets behind the fact of having a Saskatchewan team win the championship. The last time,
Swift Current
Broncos, it would be an amazing thing. And I agree with Scruffy. I think this series is going to definitely come back. There's no indication. These two are two evenly matched and qualified teams that have been through tremendous battles, the Pats specifically in round two and in round three. And so all of Regina and all of Pat Nation should be exciting. The building looks great. The atmosphere is going to be fantastic. We are seeing unbelievable hockey. I thought game five against Lethbridge was one of the best hockey games I've ever seen in my life that was here. And so and I can only imagine that it's only going to be one step up.
Well, I got to bring Scruffy on because you've been doing a lot of good work this week with this series. And, you know, starting with today, Thunderbirds have fans out tailgating here, which is awesome. 29 degrees. We had Arash Madani on an hour one from Tampa Bay. Said it's hotter here than Tampa.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, like, it's a gorgeous day out here. There's tailgating going on. Mitch, you've been interviewing the Pats all week long. Paddock and the players said on Tuesday, I think, as recently as Tuesday, that they wish they were, you know, they wanted to play Tuesday night, yep, game one. But it's like, just hold your horses, because you could be playing a game seven tonight if you hadn't taken care of business in Lethbridge, which they did, and kudos to them. But my goodness, they must be like a bucking horse wanting to get out of the chute here tonight for game one.
Absolutely, and you know what? I talked to Adam Brooks yesterday. I don't know if you played that yesterday or not, but I talked to Adam Brooks yesterday. There's a lot of people that think Seattle's going to win this series. And Adam Brooks said, you know, we're the number one hockey team in Canada. People aren't giving us a lot of credit here. We're using that as motivation. How can the number one team in Canada not be favored to win this series? Now, I understand the Thunderbirds were in this position last year, and I don't know how many guys are returnees from that team last year. I know Barzell was there. I know Bear was there. But I don't know how many guys in particular. You know what? Experience doesn't mean anything when you've gotten to this point. And as Adam Brooks said, the team that wants it more is going to win this series. And I agree with them 110%. But I cannot believe how many people out there believe that the Seattle Thunderbirds are going to win this series.
Probably a good thing, though.
Well, it is, because you know what? It gives the Pats that motivation, that momentum. It's like, you know what? We still aren't getting maybe the respect we deserve, because I think a lot of people thought, okay, you got lucky to get past Swift Current when they were up 3-1. And then it was the Lethbridge series, and while you beat them, you know, in the third period of Game 6. No, they're here for a reason, because they're that damn good.
Absolutely, and that respect factor is something that I know, Mitch, you've been talking to the players, and I've been talking more to the fans of the WHL. And it's again, and let's bring up a little bit about our goaltender that somebody said can't take us to the WHL Championship Series.
A lot of people said.
We're here. John Paddock said we've got the confidence, and they wouldn't be here if Brown wasn't in goal.
On Twitter this week, I put out a poll. Who is your Pats MVP so far? Brooks, Liedahl,
Steele?
Brown, and I forget who the fourth one was. I think it was Steele. 45% of them said it was Tyler Brown. And as I've said, and I will say this, I don't care if the Pats win this series, if they lose this series, if they win and go on to the Memorial Cup. What Tyler Brown did in Swift Current, when they were down 3-1, and Roddy, you called the game on Access and Shaw. If Swift Current gets a goal to make it 4-1 in that game, and they had their chances too, we aren't here tonight. We wouldn't have been here to watch the Eastern Conference Final. Tyler Brown is the reason, the main reason, why this team is where they are. And the Brown haters out there, they're like the Durant haters. And Durant shut them up in 2013. Tyler Brown may be a couple of weeks away from shutting them up, too.
But a guy in Moose Jaw texted me yesterday, and I'm glad to hear Johnny Atreides, the mad Greek, is cheering for the Pats in this series. That tells me how classy he is. But a guy in Moose Jaw, Ian, texted in yesterday, and he said, are the Pats finally now playing with house money in that if they lose this series? No, and I don't agree with him, George, but he just said it. I get what the notion is. He said, if they lose this series, nobody's going to be disappointed, i.e., you haven't made it this far in over a generation. Great series, guys. Let's come back and win the Cup next year when we host it. I know the Pats aren't thinking that way, but I could see how some might think that.
I'll tell you, I'll be truthful. I'll be terribly devastated. Just let me give you a little bit of the history again, saying, as a Rider fan, as a Leaf fan, as a Vikings fan, as an Expos fan, and as a Pats fan, I don't have a lot of championship swag.
It's a lot of pain there.
Exactly. When you get to this point, and we're hosting the Memorial Cup next year, forget about next year. You are 4 wins away from hosting that trophy, and you are the number one ranked team in the country. And
so
you
don't
carry,
stop now.
Don't stop now. And don't stop believing. Maybe that's what we need Mosh to be playing for us as our...
Riley, the producer.
Riley,
today.
The producer, is doing great.
09 Grey Cup, certainly the biggest heartbreak for this guy and many other Saskatchewan sports fans. For me, Steve Bartman, 2003 National League Championship Series there. But I'll tell you what, I will never forget Game 6 of the 1984 Western Hockey League Final, sitting in my car, waiting to pick up my girlfriend, listening to Kevin Gallant.
Yep.
The penalty shot by Dean Evason stopped with 23 seconds left. I thought it was over, and then Ryan Stewart scores. They go into overtime. Game 7, that 1984 final, that was just devastating. That was maybe the first devastation I had felt as a sports fan.
So maybe people talking about that, good for the Pats, look at that. They got back to the championship game series. They took it to Game 7. We're 6 seconds, I think, away from...
12, I think.
Something like that.
When you drop a penalty shot, you think it's ours.
And so you think you're going to get back, and here it is, 33 years later. So that's, again, the Pat fans have embraced it here. I can tell you at Four Seasons, we've had fantastic crowds. I didn't know how our fans would take it when I told them the Oiler game's not going to be on. It's going to be the Pats game. Everybody said, no, we want the Pats game on the big screen. That's our focus. That's what we're doing. And, even tonight, there's the Pats. There's the Pats games. There's the Raptors. There's the NHL game. There's even the Jays. Pats are number one on the big screen. They've sell out in 2 minutes here. It's quite the excitement. Well, but we need, Roddy, I don't want to look back and have a nostalgic look and say what a fantastic year it was and everything else like that. We want a championship.
Yeah. I'm thinking about what Ian texted, and it came into my mind Sunday night. Like, if the Pats lose this series, we can still be proud of them. But why would I have a negative thought like that? You know, and here's another thing that just made me very excited. Kenny Stromberg, the great Kenny Stromberg, just came out to our broadcast location. He runs the penalty box here at the games. He just handed me an official Western Hockey League Ed Chenault Cup game puck signed by the commissioner of the league, Ron Robison. This is like a football signed by Roger Goodell. You know,
Jeffrey Orr. Yeah. Or, no, maybe not.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Yeah, but I'm just
Ron.
Saying, this is really real.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about the puck. I'm talking about what's going to happen here tonight. This is historic. We can actually stop talking about 1984.
Yep.
After the other day when series. I was here, they were putting a logo in the ice, and I didn't know what they were putting in. When I came back a couple days later, it's the Rogers Western Hockey League Championship logo.
Yep.
And it's on our ice.
Right?
Cool.
I haven't even looked at the ice yet.
Wait till you see it.
This reminds me, by the way, this puck says it was made in Canada. Do you remember when you were a kid, the puck said made in Czechoslovakia? Do you remember
the
that?
Glasgow puck?
Yes.
Yes.
They were made in Czechoslovakia. Why couldn't we make pucks in Canada?
Yeah, no kidding.
Back then. So anyways, we're getting excited, obviously, with Game 1 of the Pats and the Thunderbirds coming up here tonight. Troy texting in, Troy Koser, your buddy Troy Koser. He says, go, Pats, go. Hype horn, please. On our way to the cabin to suck on some suds and watch the game. Show is great as usual. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. That's from Troy. Where's Riley, the producer, on the hype horn? Come on, Riles. He's trying to find it. We had it out. There you go, the hype horn. It's been a day or two since we played the hype horn for the Regina Pats. And quite frankly, possibly years for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You know what I mean? This thing we used to have, used to get hot, the hype horn. Sammy's hype horn. We've gone through like two producers since we got this thing going. Game one tonight, Regina Pats and the Seattle Thunderbirds. By the way, the Greek Freak is sitting here with us, Georgie Anitsos, down here at the Brand Center, just outside the concourse doors in the link on the way to the Agribition Building. The CFL Draft does go Sunday night, George. Will you have it on a television somewhere in the Four Seasons?
It'll be right beside my big screen that the Oiler game will be on. And absolutely, we'll have it on. That's what we've been doing all this time. I know I've said it so many times. This is a fantastic sports time.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I mean, tell me what you love. The NHL playoffs have been outstanding. Scruffy, the Oilers have been that. What Ryan Getzlaf did, I know it's tough being as an Oiler fan.
Do we want to go there? I'm okay with going there.
But I'm just saying, there's a Regina kid, used to kill us when playing for Red Deer. It's been a while since I've seen somebody put the team on their back, a.k.a. doubles, Western Semifinal, 2013, and he carried the Ducks. The most ice time, not a defenseman, but Ryan Getzlaf. However, I will say this. I agree. Bad breaks hopefully are going to even out and everything, but I think your leader and the Oilers' leader, Connor McDavid, is going to see that, and tonight's game, is going to be one where McDavid's going to...
Hang on one second. Because, right. Mitch, we got less than a minute, and I need to give you more than that. Okay, so we'll take a break.
All right.
We'll come back and get to the Oilers. I got so much to say, and I know you do, too. We're live from the Brand Center on a Four Seasons Football Friday. We're talking hockey on Four Seasons Football Friday, but I know the Greek Freak doesn't mind because he's sitting here with me.
See love football.
It. You're the only one that it matters. If you're okay, I'm okay.
Oh, I love it.
On 620 CKRM and the CKRM app. Four Seasons Football Friday heads into the home quarter. Live from the Brand Center, Pats and Thunderbirds coming up. Game one, Western Hockey League Championship Final. We got the Greek Freak with us, Georgi Ionitsos, and Scruffy with us here as well. And by the way, Mosh is texting in.
Yes.
He says, great show. Riley's doing a hell of a job. One might say he learned from the best. That from Mosh. Who's giving
Sammy?
I said yes. Nevin did a hell of a job.
Oh. You and I are on the same wave, Mike.
That's a scary thing.
I know it is.
And the bus just went by and just through.
Everybody under the bus. Everybody under the bus. Sam in Swift Current writes in Prairie Mobile text line. He says, "Go Pats, go! Still remember 1984. Hope they win. Been a Pat fan all my life." From Sam in Swift Current. From Ryderville, Alex.
This is the first one, I think.
Alex gets left.
Okay.
Down in Abilene. He says, wow, what a studly performance. Great to watch. Congrats on your most impressive night. That was my text to Ryan after game four. Tonight should prove very interesting. Go, Pats, go. From Ryderville, Alex. So, yes, Oilers and Ducks. Mitch, go.
If the Edmonton Oilers cannot control Anaheim's number 15, they will not win tonight. That being said, like George said, I think it's time for Connor McDavid to break out, have a 3 or 4 point game. And while the Regina guy has taken it to the Oilers, I expect a Regina guy to still have a presence for the Edmonton Oilers. There may be a lot in Oiler Nation giving up on Jordan Eberle. I'm not one of them, and I think he will come up with a big goal before this series is over, and it may happen tonight.
Well, you know, Ebbs, in that third period where they were saying that that he was being benched and he got a shift, and his line carried the play in the offensive zone. Then he got another shift. Then he got another shift. He came so close to tying the game up. He was one of the players that progressed the puck for the tying goal. And I agree with you. Ebbs is gonna be one of those players that his Regina character is going to come through and score an all-important goal.
And by the way, for those that are getting on the Jordan Eberle bandwagon saying, get this guy out of town, can you tell me where the hell Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been in the playoffs? He's been just as bad, if not worse. And I'm not saying that Eberle's had a good playoffs, because he hasn't. And there's no sugarcoating that. But Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been god-awful as well. And if the Oilers are going to get past the Ducks and get past the Predators or Blues, he needs to pick it up as well.
Did Mrs. Scruffy take you in for tranquilizers this week or something?
No.
Did you hear what he said? You hear what he said? No, not that. When you said, I couldn't believe what you said. You said, Oiler fans, stop bitching about officiating. We're better than that.
Yes.
You said that.
Yes.
Holy.
I'm like, what have you done with the real Scruffy?
Hey, the other night, I'm not a Dan O'Halloran fan. When I saw he was doing the game, I went, great, this should be fun. But the goal that Corey Perry got to make it 2-1, that was a goal. And had they called that a non-goal and it was reviewed by Carlisle, there was nothing conclusive there. Todd McClellan, unfortunately, with the challenge, the way the rules go, because that one goal was offside. But the only thing I want to see in the NHL when it comes to officiating, and I'm seeing it in the Oilers series, I'm seeing it in the Senator-Ranger series, I'm seeing it in all four that are going on. Call the damn interference that's going on. It's ridiculous. Like, I just want, you know, if you're going to call these penalties, and then there's a lot of ticky-tack penalties being called, like, either call them or let everything go to a point. Obviously, you don't want to have complete mayhem on the ice. But it's just inconsistent. It's very ticky-tacky, and the interference, which is my understanding is supposed to be called, isn't being called, and I've seen the Oilers guilty of it, I've seen the Ducks guilty of it, and I'm sure when I go home tonight and watch the end of that game, I'll see more examples of it.
But I will say this one thing, Scruffy. I understand
you know, when your team's a vested interest and you're looking at it. And for my Leafs, I thought that that was an exciting six-game series. The hockey has been outstanding.
Yes.
It has been. So maybe a few adjustments have to be made, just like in the Dub. Isn't it wonderful? I don't think there have been really too many circumstances where we've said, oh, the referees or this or that's been a bad call or whatever. It's been fantastic hockey and proves a couple things. One of them is you need outstanding goaltending to advance in the series. In the NHL and the WHL, it's been that old adage has been proven again. And the teams that are either in the WHA championship or moving on to the second round or third round, you know what? Pekka Rinne and...
Did you see that coming?
No.
Nashville?
Not too many.
Not I didn't.
Don't think.
Against the Blackhawks, if there was ever a model of a team that you said, here is a model, everybody picked the Blackhawks to win because they thought this year it is tight. But how are you going to go against Jonathan Toews, Kane, and the Duncan Key, you know, and the rest of the Blackhawks, and they don't even win a game?
We're out of time, gents.
Nice show today, Roddy.
Wow, was it good. Thanks for your efforts in it, man.
Anytime.
Interviewing the Seattle Tailgaters.
The roving reporter.
Yeah, it was great. I felt like a real radio show. Thanks to Scruffy. Had Mitch Pickton on of the Rams. Boy, and I, like, we were excited on this show. The excitement's just starting. Game one tonight. Game two tomorrow. Yes, CFL draft Sunday night. It's all fantastic. This show has been a Riley Pollock production. And let's get inside, gents. What do you say?
I like it.
Absolutely. Go Pats, go.
The Pats pregame show is next with Dr. Phil. Phil the Thrill. Go Pats, go. We'll see you Monday in the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM and the CKRM app.